Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife,
Marie.
And you are going in SmackDown Live. Who needs Raw?
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steve and Larson. Also available wherever fine podcasts are, including iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, SoundCloud.com/Steve and Larson, Google Play, iHeartRadio, and all sorts of other places.
And hopefully soon we'll be on Spotify.
And remember, if you hit that download subscribe button on the iTunes, it jacks us up in them sports and rec category rankings.
Yes.
There, and that makes me very, very happy. And it was like Jim Cornette's podcast. There's like a, it's called like The Drive-Thru with Jim Cornette. I thought he had the Jim Cornette Experience, but now apparently he's got some like fast food type show.
Really?
I don't think he actually talks about fast food.
With that name, that's what I thought.
I know, and I would actually probably listen to that. That'd be kind of great. Can we do a fast food show? I didn't really want to do
that. We tried that before, and we felt awful.
Yeah, I know, like physically.
Yeah, not about doing the show. We just felt awful like, doing the show.
It did fairly decent numbers for our channel at the time.
Yeah, it
like
did.
Pre-wrestling exclusive.
I think people want to see us eat disgusting stuff.
People want us to slowly die.
Yeah.
And they want to watch
well,
it.
Well, eating that kind of stuff will hasten our demise.
Yeah, I know, but you're watching somebody die. It's not going to kill you immediately. That's my point.
Well,
so anyway, it's not like watching a snuff film. It's like watching a snuff film in slow motion.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyways, today we're going to talk about 205 Live and NXT.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we do.
And answer some questions.
Show. And answer, and then we're going to answer some questions, yeah.
So overview, 205 Live, thoughts. I thought it was pretty boring.
Yeah. I actually was not enamored with either show this week.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you. You know why? I think you know why. Because I won't spoil it, but I thought a certain thing was going to happen this week on NXT that I know about regarding one of my favorite characters, and it didn't happen. And on top of that, well, we'll talk about that in a second. First, let's talk about 205 Live. Yeah, I mean, I think that Fastlane should have been this week because I feel like the perfect go-home for 205 Live for the Neville Gallagher thing was last week.
Yeah.
And this week, it was just more of the same. Like, Neville comes out. He addresses the 205 Live universe.
Well, that's how the show ended.
Oh, okay, that's right. Okay,
the show started with a Jack Gallagher interview. What an exciting way to open a show, than with an interview, not a promo, mind you.
Yeah,
an interview
with Gentleman Jack. Was this was like backstage, like milling about backstage?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that's not a terribly exciting way. And here's the thing. When a program is built around a central theme. In this case, Gallagher, well, number one, Neville's just mean, but Neville has referred to Gallagher as a caricature of what people think the British people are like. And Gallagher says, no, I am actually that. I am a gentleman, and I like tea and biscuits or crumpets or whatever it is. And that is addressed in its entirety. Number one, that's a really thin premise to go on.
Yeah.
And they haven't really, I'm not sure if you can develop it, and they haven't really developed it. I feel like when they did the contract signing, that's pretty much as far as they could have gone with that.
Yeah, I know.
You know, like he had the tea and crumpets out. They fought each other. That's kind of as far as you can go with that.
Yeah, it seems like if that's the basis for the feud, that needs to be the entry point.
Yeah.
And it needs to go somewhere else from there.
Yeah.
Because, what more can you really do with
it? I'm not sure what more you can do it. I'm not sure you'd want to do more with it. In any event, the feud, this is the problem too often with the WWE. It mainly Raw. They do one thing and they hammer it into the ground.
Yes.
They just, as opposed to SmackDown, who apparently feels totally fine doing like many different things, but skipping over vital story elements.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like we got some shit. I'm going to say we got some shit, but we had some people on Twitter saying, here's the thing. When They're
there's people on Twitter and the YouTube comments for a SmackDown recap just giving their own interpretations of what they of what happened.
And tell me what the problem with that is.
Well, I don't know. There's...
Well, no, the problem with that is the SmackDown is leaving it to us
to fill in
story gaps.
Yeah.
Where they're supposed to be. Somebody said, I forget who on the Twitter, and I apologize, but he made the point. He said, you know, Randy did what he did because Bray gave him the keys to the kingdom,
yes.
which allowed him to get inside the Wyatt compound. I get that. And then he said, AJ is involved simply to set up his feud with Shane. Okay, hold on a second, though. That's not story. That's not story. That's like their plans. That's like saying Luke got involved with the Alliance so that he could fight Darth Vader, to set up his fight with Darth Vader. No, that's just, that was the end game. That was like the natural
that's
conclusion to his
yes.
character arc in that particular yes. movie. That's not why AJ's involved. AJ's involved because he's trying to get the world title.
Yes.
Why did Randy Orton give up his title shot? And I get that he said, as long as I'm the
yes.
student,
yes.
there was no transition to him being the master. It was simply, I'm going to give up the title shot to trick you into trusting me, and then I'm going to go to your house and burn it down.
But also, the upper management on SmackDown interpreted his statement as he's giving up his title shot.
Right, yeah.
So regardless of what Randy's intent was,
mm-hmm.
if the SmackDown general manager or commissioner said, okay, well, you just gave up your title shot, that's it. That's what it should be.
Exactly. They had a battle royal. What was the point of the battle royal?
I know.
If you didn't get a title shot now.
Exactly.
And then you see on Talking Smack, I know we're not talking about 205 Live right now, but on Talking Smack, AJ Styles is like, no, I'm going to be at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
This is my thing. AJ Styles at this point should just stay home until WrestleMania.
I know.
Because contractually, he should contractually have a title shot at WrestleMania.
Because, you know, when he won that match against Luke Harper on his lower third, right above his
yes,
name.
Yes, it did.
Said number one contender to WWE Championship.
And then asshole says, we have a lot to discuss. No, you don't. I am totally firmly, and this is not an AJ Styles bias, although I have one.
Yes.
Contractually, he's deserved a title shot at WrestleMania.
Yes.
End of story. AJ, go home. Don't do dick else. And then show up at WrestleMania.
Just show up at the main event of WrestleMania.
Yes, exactly. And contractually, they are obligated to give you that shot now.
Yes. Because regardless of what Randy's intent was.
Regardless of all that.
Upper management interpreted his statement, which he has not protested yet.
Exactly, yeah.
That he was giving up his title shot. Therefore, he has no claim to be in the main event of WrestleMania.
It lessens that storyline when Randy now has to negotiate with upper management.
I know.
Anytime he has to then pull legalities out of his ass, that's not going to make for dramatic TV. It might. We have 3 weeks until four weeks until WrestleMania. It might make for compelling TV. I'm speculating that it won't. I don't want to see Randy Orton have to haggle with. After Randy Orton just committed arson, totally, I'm pretty sure, across all 50 states, who knows where Bray Wyatt's compound actually is, what state it's in.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure arson.
Oh, that's a crime.
Is a federal offense.
I don't think it's a federal offense.
Really?
It's a felony.
Yeah,
but I don't think it's, unless you're burning federal property, it's not a federal offense.
We don't know. Maybe it sits on federal land.
That could be. I don't know.
If he burns a federally protected site, isn't that a federal
yes,
offense?
Okay, there it's you federal go. Property.
How
yeah.
do we know that it's not a historically?
We don't. I'm just saying we can't assume it's a federal offense.
Well,
it's
any
a
event,
felony. I'm sure.
Find me a jurisdiction where arson is totally cool.
Oh, zero.
Yeah. That, okay, that's what I'm talking about. Okay. Anyways, let's go back to 205 Live.
All right.
We've addressed SmackDown. We'll get back to it on Wednesday. Yeah. Then we had Noam Dar versus Lince Dorado. They jobbed out Lince Dorado pretty quickly to Noam Dar.
Yeah.
Although Lince Dorado still has, he moved up to one of my favorite stunners in the business.
Mm-hmm.
Although I like that Corey Graves danced around calling it a stunner.
I know.
He said, yeah, he hit that, oh, fuck, what'd he say? That wonderful springboard move and stunned Noam Dar. I don't know. It was kind of funny. He danced around calling it a stunner.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah. And then, Tozawa, I actually kind of like,
yeah,
this
part. This segment was good. And then the 6-man tag match was good.
Akira Tozawa has tons of charisma.
Yeah, he does.
Like when he talks, it's pretty cool. So he comes out and he's doing an interview in the middle of the ring with Austin Aries, who I love, always has to interject his own personal point of view.
I know.
And at some point in here, it's not in the notes, but at some point Austin Aries says, I've got another breaking news update. I've got the lowdown on a great new competitor who's as great outside the ring as inside the ring. Let's say, and you know, the Corey Graves and Moro both fall for it.
Yeah, and it's a package for him. Yeah.
That's gross. I fucking love Austin Aries. You know who he kind of reminds me of with his glasses? Because he has kind of a bigger nose. He reminds me of, who was the guy, who was the manager type character that Andy Kaufman played?
Clifton, right?
Tony Clifton was it. Was it? I think he kind of reminds me. Bah, 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 bah. He kind of looks like that. Hold on, I'm gonna look up Tony.
Yeah,
Clifton.
Tony Clifton.
Tony Clifton. Like, look at his picture. Tell me it doesn't look like Tony. It totally. It looks like Austin Aries. That's great. Anyways, Akira Tozawa gave an interview. Brian Kendrick came out. And he started, and Akira was like, come on, let's fight. Let's do it. Let's fight now. And Kendrick was saying, not going to do it. So they're going to fight.
They're in a tag match.
Oh, yeah.
The Fastlane pre-show.
That's dumb.
Because apparently during the Noam Dar Lince Dorado match, someone delivered flowers to Alicia Fox.
Ooh.
And then they showed Rich Swann backstage watching the match.
Ooh.
So I guess the insinuation is that he sent flowers, I guess. To Alicia Fox.
Alicia Fox.
So there's a program between Rich Swann and Noam Dar,
mm-hmm.
and there's a program between Akira Tozawa and Brian Kendrick, so they're just putting those two stories together in one pre-show match.
Well, I hope it's going to be a good one. I'll be honest, I actually didn't mind the match after this.
Oh, the six-man tag match was lots of fun.
I thought it was a lot of fun.
They gave it a ton of time.
They gave it a lot of time. They had a lot of fun, so that was like, two matches on the show. They gave it a lot of time. A lot of cool interweaving things going on mm-hmm. here. Daivari was cracking me up.
There's a lot of twists and turns.
I always loved Drew Gulak, the most normal-looking wrestler I've ever seen in my life.
I know.
Let's see here. TJ Perso was Tony Nese, Drew Gulak, Daivari versus TJ Perkins, Mustafa Ali, and Cedric Alexander.
It was cool that Daivari got a really good pop in his hometown.
Mm-hmm.
And they were really cheering for him.
Mm-hmm.
Every time he kind of got knocked out of the match.
And he got a good spotlight. Like, they gave him a decent spotlight. Who went over in this match?
The heels, Tony Nese, picked up the win, pinning Mustafa Ali following his running knee finisher.
Yeah. Tony Nese looks like $1 million, dude. He is truly the premier athlete.
He really is.
Yeah. Let's see here. And then at the end, Neville addressed the WWE Universe.
Mm-hmm.
And again, like we sort of said, this feud never really escalated. Like, I feel like the contract signing was really cool.
Yeah, that should have been the
go-home.
The crescendo, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, they should have built to that. Instead, they had that. They were like, ooh, this is really cool. Let's do this. And then they're like, well, what are we going to do for the next 2 weeks?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was going even past.
When was the contract signing? 2 weeks ago?
Something like that,
or was it last week? I forget.
It was last week. I don't remember if it was on Raw or on 205 Live, though. Going beyond just Neville saying that Gallagher is just a stereotype,
mm-hmm.
he was also implying that it was a fabrication.
Mm-hmm. Like his
character.
Yeah.
And if they want to go just beyond
mm-hmm.
that kind of basic element of your stereotype, no, I'm not, back and forth, which is essentially what they're doing, dig deeper into that aspect of it. Like Gallagher, you know, more or less showing, okay, no, this is who I really am.
Have Neville do background checks on Gallagher.
Or have Gallagher go, you know, wherever he's from in England.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Do stuff like that.
Like have,
where he's walking around his hometown and show and genuine moments of him interacting with people.
And it's like something out of Mary Poppins. Like, it's all like little birds flirting
about
and stuff.
Well, I think that would just further Neville's case as opposed to...
No, but it'd be keeping it real.
No, I know.
But, you know, it's not fabricated at least.
Mm-hmm.
He shows up and the skies are all blue and stuff, and then he crosses the train tracks into Neville's territory and instantly everything's pure gray. Oh man, that'd be great. So anyways, yeah, and again, this ended in violence, you know. Gallagher
hit the running drop kick on the outside.
Yeah, that was kind of cool.
So we know Neville's gonna win their match.
It was weird seeing Gallagher with like pants and no shirt, though. He looks like a little kid running around. You know, put on a shirt.
I always worry when people,
Jackie, put on a shirt.
I always worry when wrestlers fight in dress shoes.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's obvious they have no traction.
Oh, yeah.
There was a couple times where, one was intentional at least, Gallagher was sliding across the ring canvas.
I like when The Rock did that.
I know.
That was the best.
But I always worry that someone's going to lose their footing and hurt themselves. Unintentionally.
All right. Let's see here. Then we had NXT.
Which kicked off with the Patrick Clark Experience.
Man, I was kind of bummed out. I thought that there was going to be an actual experience. I wanted him to drop a freaking promo
or something.
Like, it's an experience. This is just a match against Sean Majabber. I thought they changed Sean Maluda's name to Keanu Reeves.
No. You're thinking of, it was Noah Potches. That's right. Kona Reeves.
But you know, they're the same people. The same. Hold on a second. Have Sean Maluda,
oh man,
and Keanu Reeves,
Kona Reeves,
been in the same room? Let's see what Google says. Look at this. Somebody took a picture of Trump and made it into Tony Clifton. That's great. Come on. Enter, stupid. Keanu Reeves on not receiving more offers from Hollywood. I am an...
Anyways, yeah. What was that?
FBI agent. My
sound like your speakers popped.
Speaker popped over there.
Anyways, it'd been great after Patrick Clark picked up the win if he had delivered a promo.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been fantastic. That's what I was hoping for.
If you're coming out against some other guy and he's like, oh, yeah, it's tonight, it's the Larson experience. Guess who's going over?
Larson.
That's right. Anyways, Patrick Clark. I love Patrick Clark, man.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I just wish they would have given him a promo because he's hilarious on the mic. He's great on the mic.
Yeah,
he's funny.
Is.
And he always has, he's always doing kiss lips. That's great. And he's got like weird posture. Because he's like lanky, like his back like really arcs.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's
yeah,
like that
yeah,
kind
yeah,
of,
yeah.
This is how his like body is shaped.
Yeah.
But he's got like, you know, he's like cut.
Yeah.
I love Patrick Clark.
He's great.
Man. He's great. Oh, man. Anyways, yeah, it's the experience, like is every match that Patrick Clark has, is it going to be the Patrick Clark experience now? I don't know. I just want the guy. I want.
Yeah,
a promo.
I was expecting a bit more. Expecting a promo, like more of a spectacle in terms of his
right?
entrance and stuff.
I wanted, like, yeah, I want like the full like he's doing Prince. He's Prince. I want the full Prince experience. I gotta watch that Chappelle episode again. Anyway, Sanity did a promo where they're fucking milling about near a garbage can.
Yeah, that's a good promo though.
No, well, dude, any Eric Young promo is gonna be great. And then Nikki Cross gets in a couple of mumbly words. And they're burning something in a garbage can. And,
yeah.
And what's his face? Weirdo Wolf, Alexander Wolf is yeah. lingering about yeah. with his weird facial expression. I love everything about Sanity, man. They're super homeless, though. Like, that's their gimmick is Hollywood. I swear to you, man, when I lived in Hollywood, number one, it's like true Hollywood. It's gross. It's
yeah,
like
Hollywood is not as glamorous as it's often portrayed.
You walk around and it just literally, it smells like pee-pee.
Mm-hmm.
It smells like piss. And then you go by like alleyways and you see a guy like Eric Young taking a shit in an alley.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's, I feel like the next Sanity promo should inch closer and closer to Eric Young talking about Ty Dillinger as he's dropping a dookie.
Okay.
In an alleyway.
Okay.
Or Nikki Cross for that matter.
Yeah.
Squeezing one out with like
sure.
an angry face.
Sure.
Oh. That'd be great. Anyways, they said Ty Dillinger won't join us, so we're going to like burn him or something.
Well, Eric Young,
you're
the
bringing
promo,
you're bringing your friends down into bad decision land with you.
Yeah, and Eric Young at the end said, you know, I'm going to take you on myself, Ty Dillinger.
Yeah, Ty Dillinger.
So I assume they'll have another match at TakeOver Orlando, one on one.
Yeah.
Maybe in a cage or something.
Yeah. That'd be cool.
To keep any outside interference.
That'd be neat.
Out of the equation.
That'd be good.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're all just milling about outside. I loved it. It was great. Then we had, I was kind of hoping this would be the main event. We had Asuka versus Peyton Royce. Man, Peyton Royce is really coming into her own.
I was just about to say the exact same
thing.
She
is like, she like this week I was like, okay, she's ready. She's
yeah.
good. She
yeah.
can,
she's got
she's
tons
good.
Of charisma.
Yeah.
She's pretty good in the ring.
It's crazy how they do that with NXT, man. Like they just, they sort of hold off on you until you're maybe ready to go at a certain point or until like a spot opens up. And I'm hoping that's what happens with Patrick Clark.
Yeah.
Is that the fact that they advertise, oh, it's a Patrick Clark experience. I really hope that means that enough bodies are sort of out of the way, cleared out of the men's division.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That it's his time to see, okay,
yeah.
let's see if this angle will work.
Yeah.
But Peyton Royce is at that point right now.
Yeah. And she had the upper hand for a good portion of this mm-hmm. match, especially the beginning.
Yeah. Billy Kay milling about outside the ring.
And they were really doing a good job of having Peyton work Asuka's arm,
mm-hmm.
you know, which is an important factor mm-hmm. in her applying the Asuka lock.
Yeah. Asuka ended up going over with the Asuka lock, but then afterwards they attacked her.
Billy Kay and Peyton Royce, yeah.
Yeah.
And Ember Moon came out to make the save.
Mm-hmm. But then Ember Moon and Asuka had a standoff because Asuka got back up in her face with the title.
Yeah.
And Ember Moon. Here's the thing, man. This is the problem, though. This lacks the drama it needed because of what we've been talking about with Ember Moon. She keeps it too real. Like, I feel like she's just cool person as opposed to, ooh, she's mysterious and weird and creepy and she's been picking up all these wins. You know, it's like instead we see her palling around with Liv Morgan.
I know.
Hey, we need to have good sportsmanship attitudes. Okay, sounds good. Let's have a good match.
I know. It seems like Ember Moon should be a character with a lot of mystique.
I know, exactly.
And there's not a whole lot.
Like Asuka. You never see Asuka want to pal around with anybody. She says, I want to fight them.
Yeah.
Who, Asuka? Asuka.
All of them.
That's rad.
I know. That was great.
Talk about mystique right there. So yeah, but no, it's still kind of cool. Her and Ember Moon facing down. This kind of makes an interesting title picture here. Who's going to lose the belt to Asuka, Peyton Royce, Ember Moon?
Wait, who's going to win the belt from Asuka?
Who's going to make Asuka lose the belt? Who's Asuka going to drop the belt to?
Yes.
Peyton Royce, Ember Moon, or Nikki Cross? Who will it be? Not a lot of time, but how many more tapings do they have between now and Mania?
I think all the tapings have been taped.
Really?
Yeah, the last set of tapings was everything through March.
Ooh, okay, well.
Yeah, I think the next three episodes are from the arena at the University of Central Florida.
I did not.
They shot them there instead of the NXT arena.
Oh, that's interesting. I did not spoil the results of those tapings for myself.
Apart from a couple things.
Apart from the biggest thing that I care about, but it has no bearing on the rest of the roster. So I have no idea what's going to happen with the women's title. You can find that out now if you want to.
Yeah.
I'm not going to. Maybe I'll do it tonight. And then William Regal. There's a lot of packages in NXT. There's like a bunch of filler. I just like.
Yeah, I mean, they pretty much recapped or showed the vast majority of the Bobby Roode, Cassius Ohno exchange last week.
So William Regal announces Bobby Roode, the current NXT champion, versus Chris Hero for the NXT championship.
I think they said it happens in 2 weeks.
Oh, okay. So I guess next week is going to be the thing that I'm talking about then. Ooh, that's going to be fun. Everybody make sure to tune into NXT next week, man. Then we had in the main event, the Authors of Pain. See, here's my problem with this.
What?
This should have been in the Asuka spot. Asuka should have been, because Asuka had like a certain finish. I totally knew. I didn't even read the spoilers. I knew it was going to happen in this Authors of Pain DIY championship match. The Revival came down, and I mean, it was a decent enough match.
Yeah, it wasn't as good as their TakeOver match.
Because I think they all knew what was going to happen.
Yeah.
Like, there was no need to tell a story here because everybody knew that the Revival were going to come down and interfere, and then it was going to set up a three-way dance at a TakeOver.
Yeah.
Like, that much was obvious.
Let me ask you something, just logically speaking.
Yeah.
If you're the Revival, who would you rather face for the Tag Team Championships? DIY or DIY and the Authors of Pain? I would think if your goal is to get those titles back, granted, you've lost to DIY, but you've also beat them.
Yeah, you've lost to them twice.
But I would think it'd be easier to beat one team as opposed to two.
You don't have to beat two teams, though. You can just stand outside the ring and let them go at it. Let them beat each other up and then take advantage. On the other hand, if you get taken out of the match, somebody can get the pin without you. So,
strategically speaking,
I don't know.
I think it makes sense to just wrestle one team.
Yeah, I know, but the thing is, like, the Authors of Pain are a brick wall. You don't want to face them.
No, that's why if you're in a position to face DIY.
You've lost twice to them.
I know.
You've lost twice.
I understand, but you've also beat them. Haven't they beat them? Yeah, they beat them in TakeOver Brooklyn.
Yeah, they beat them, but then DIY figured them out.
Well, that's why, you know, the Revival haven't really had a match.
The Revival, if they got the smarts,
they can muster up a new strategy to counter.
They can manipulate the situation into DIY getting beat up by the Authors of Pain, and then the Revival taking advantage of that because they got the most experience in the ring.
I understand that. Well, I mean, Gargano and
as
and
a tag team, Ciampa, they have the most experience.
Yeah, I guess so.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Gargano and Ciampa have just as much experience overall, if not more.
Yeah, but as the tag teams in NXT,
I understand all that. Yeah. I'm just saying, it's like if your goal is to win the tag titles,
yeah,
have a match against one team that you've beat.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I see it my way better. So anyways, yeah, the Revival. I like that one of the Revival boys was wearing gray sweatpants too.
Oh, yeah. Dash Wilder.
Dash. That's right. Dash.
Yeah.
He's wearing gray. Never wear gray sweatpants. It's not good. You can see too much. You see like mushroom tip.
Mm-hmm.
Not good.
Mm-mm.
You can't get a boner anytime.
No.
You can't even get like half a boner. Anyways, let's do questions.
Yeah, let's do some questions.
Oh, crap. I got to get to questions.
I'm on questions. King of Hostile Joshua, the Dynamic Knight Martinez. Hey, friendos. I got a phenomenal idea.
Phenomenal.
When you guys do the predictions for NXT TakeOver Orlando, the loser has to wear the Slap Nuts t-shirt at Mania.
Oh, fuck you. How about that idea? Who is that, Martinez?
Yeah.
The Dynamic King, the Dynamic fuck you.
You don't want to be with 50,000 other people wearing a Slap Nut shirt? Potentially?
No, I don't.
I don't think it'd bother me.
I have a problem with extra. I have a problem these days with Pro Wrestling Tees extra large shirt. I had to go to wearing large shirts because.
Well, mine's a large. We just have to bring one.
I'm gonna wear your shirt.
It'll be clean.
Weird. It's all like, I know mine is fresh. If I wear it, I want people to know this is the first time wearing this shirt. Well, oh, actually, it could be the second time.
It won't even be the first time. Because you wore it out for a day
That didn't. That so is non-canon. Anyways, do you like that idea?
I'm fine with it.
I don't like that idea.
Okay.
Delete.
All right.
All right. Moving on. Because I don't want to wear that shit. Jacob Omega at Mania. Give me a break. He's just heckled by everybody. Hey, Steve Larson. Steve, well, you idiot.
I mean, if it's like cold out, you can wear a sweatshirt.
It's not going to be cold. It's Orlando. It's going to be super humid.
Well, it could be humid and still not necessarily be warm.
I'm going to be sweating in that shirt, man. No, I don't know what I'm going to wear at Mania, but I got to figure it out. But I'm not going to have my crappy predictions dictate what I wear at Mania.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to wear it at Mania either. I got my Marty Scurll and Destino shirts yesterday.
I ordered some Lunar Glides.
Oh, yeah?
I did. I ordered them online. You want to see them real quick?
Yeah, yeah. Did you get they on clearance?
It was heavily discounted. I got it from... Finish Line? I think I got it.
Okay, yeah, they
line.
Usually have some good sales.
Yeah, they had a really good deal.
You got Glides and not the Flyknit ones?
I got Glides because that's what I had before.
Yeah, and those are good.
I got... Well, I thought mine were Flyknit, though. Are Glides exclusively not Flyknit?
I don't know if the current incarnations are. Okay. Those you have that on there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is this all going to stay in the show? I hope so.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, that's talking about shoes.
Here's the spot where the damn picture's supposed to be. God! Your order is official. Oh, here we go.
Let me see.
These are ridiculous.
They don't look too different than the ones you have.
No, I know. These aren't orange, though.
Yeah, I know. They're multicolor.
I know.
Oh, well, those are nice.
Yeah, I know. I'm very happy with those. I'm going to wear those in Mania.
Okay. I need to get Mania shoes.
If Jacob Omega, if you guys could take any superstar from the main roster and repackage them on NXT, let me ask you this. How would you book them? Thank you, Jacob.
Thank you.
And I didn't mean to say fuck you to Josh Martinez. That's me giving you shit. Because that's me saying no way. So I don't want anybody to get butthurt around here. Jacob Omega says, do you think, is that a possibility these days? Being busted back down to NXT, is that even a possibility now?
I mean, that happened to Zack Ryder.
I know. I'm asking you right now because that happened a while ago.
It wasn't that long ago.
It's a different landscape now.
I agree.
Do you think, we'll just answer the question then. Do you think it could happen? Do you think you could see Apollo Crews, for example, back down on NXT?
I don't know if he'd be, or if any competitor would be sent back down to NXT full time, because even when Zack Ryder was in NXT, he was still popping up on the main roster here and there.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be surprised if they might send someone to NXT on double duty to keep going on the main roster while also, you know, potentially working on aspects of one's character on NXT.
I think the only
situation... On occasion.
I honestly think we're past the point of being busted back down to NXT. I really do. I don't think we're ever going to see it again.
I don't know.
Ever. The only time that you're going to see it, I think, double duty is if you're advancing to main and you have unfinished business on NXT.
I don't know.
But, yeah, I don't see that happening. But Jay Omega is asking us the question.
Here.
If you could take an
superstar. I think they announced... That I don't think they announced it last night, but I'll just say it here because it feeds into my argument. And granted, it's not a competitor being sent back down to full-time to NXT or doing double duty per se full-time.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe I read that Shinsuke is taking on TJ Perkins next week. And this won't be the first time since he won the Cruiserweight tournament that he's been on NXT while also wrestling on the main roster.
Yeah.
And I know it's not a situation where he's being booked on NXT shows to kind of further develop him.
Yeah.
I think they just want to have a good opponent for Shinsuke in his return match.
Yeah. But, and granted, the Zack Ryder / Emma thing was it's not like you saw that a lot.
No.
But I really, really doubt that they would do that again. I don't know. I get this feeling that they're at a point where they're.
But if it's a situation where, say, Apollo Crews, they feel like he just needs more reps on TV, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, I don't know.
Or the Ascension.
Do you really see them busting the Ascension back down NXT?
They're not doing anything with them on SmackDown.
They'd get released before they bust them back down
NXT.
That's
a possibility, too.
That's my thing. I don't know. Maybe they would. Maybe they would. But if you could take any superstar from Maine and repackage them on NXT, what would you do? You know who I can't stand? Kalisto. I really love his moves. I love his moveset. But he does. It's just too much of the standard babyface stuff. And I'm so tired of that. So bust him back down to NXT. Repackage him. I don't know if, like, well, I guess the Lucha thing is kind of important for that market they're trying to reach.
I'm trying to think of...
I think guys with masks, I mean, I just think here in the States, like, I don't know. There's just like a... It's difficult to connect. You know what I mean? Rey Mysterio was so, like, different. Like, he was... Rey Mysterio got by so much on, like, his moves at first. And then they let him do so much story-wise that it was like you could finally get through the mask, but they had to do a lot for him.
Yeah.
There's like a barrier there. I mean, like a literal barrier. And I think with Kalisto, it's difficult. So I don't know. Get rid of the mask. Fuck it. Get rid of the mask.
I'm trying to think, because I think they could potentially do something interesting with the vaudevillains. I'm just trying to think of what. Like, say they say, how about this? They show up on an episode of NXT, and they said, you know, the SmackDown wasn't ready for a couple of real men, essentially, which is kind of their gimmick.
Yeah.
So we had to come back to NXT, you know, where we're appreciated or something like that, where real men are appreciated.
Okay.
I'm talking out my ass.
It's good. No, it's good. Keep going.
And from there, they can find a way to repackage them somewhat.
Yeah.
So, you know, their music doesn't bore the crowd instantly.
No, I got it. I got it. How about this?
What?
They go back down to NXT and then they do whatever you're talking about, but they have like more of a supernatural slant to them.
Okay.
They come up, Aiden English revealed to be Sister Abigail.
Okay.
Oh, that'd be great. And he sings like he did back on old NXT. My name is Sister Abigail. I don't know who Simon Gotch would be. Turn Simon Gotch into Simon Botch.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
You know, and like it'd be like
his gimmick just be bad wrestler.
It'd be a shout out to Botchamania.
Yeah, that'd be funny.
And the Botchamania theme would be his theme song. Oh, that'd be great.
All right, say this next name.
The Genetic Freak Champion, Journey Freak.
Hey, friendos, I recently saw a Monster Jam commercial. Maybe remember about how there used to be wrestlers' themes as monster trucks. So my question is, which current superstar today would make a great
Apollo Crews? I want to see Apollo Crews as a monster truck. Just a big smiley, happy face on the hood. And the truck somehow has like some hydraulics so that it like does a flip, like a standing flip. That'd be great. Apollo Crews control. Oh, God, that'd be great. You can't beat that answer. Big smiling happy face on the hood. That'd be amazing.
I'll just say Enzo and Cass.
Oh, that'd be weird. That'd be okay.
Yeah.
I like my answer better. Connor Triple H Dunmore. I don't know why I read it like that.
Well, I think that's how it's supposed to be read.
Yeah. Hey, friendos, first time patron and long time viewer. Thank you,
thank
Connor.
You.
This is my opinion on what will happen in the women's championship match at Fastlane. Sasha turns heel, but hits Charlotte first so her streak is protected and isn't thrown away at a show like Fastlane. But then she beats up Bayley, setting up a triple threat for WrestleMania. Do you think this will be a good way to build a Sasha heel turn and Bayley defeating Charlotte streak?
At this point, I feel like Sasha's not going to turn heel until after Mania.
I think it's going to be right after Mania, yep. though. I feel like that's going to be the case.
Yep.
You're up next.
The Shit Twins advocate Alexander Corrente. Patrick Clark, fantastic athlete, young and looks like $1 million. However, I'm skeptical that his gimmick is a low-ceiling main roster gimmick like Tyler Breeze. Maybe that is just Alexander. I can't talk right now. Being negative, but I would like to hear your guys' opinion.
I think you're 100% correct, my friend. I think Patrick Clark has Fear Fashion Police written all over him. I really do. Gimmicks like that, man. What did Cena say the other night? He got it spot on.
Oh, yeah. It's success. You turned all the way up.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Now, maybe Patrick Clark is Prince. You know, maybe that's who he is. I just don't – I agree completely. I think that it's got a low main roster gimmick, yeah. Ceiling, you know.
I think he has potential to do really well in NXT.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But, yeah.
Vaudevillains is a ceiling.
Yeah.
Tyler Breeze. Motor City champion Gene the Grappler. So seeing that NXT will have a show the day before Mania, do you think the card for NXT will again top WrestleMania? Or will this be the year we see a good Mania and maybe an okay NXT takeover?
Well, takeover.
We've always said this, man. It's its own thing. It's its own beast. Yeah. You can't really compare the two.
Like, I mean, takeover will have Shinsuke, Bobby Roode, I'm guessing.
Mm-hmm.
Their rematch. We'll see Authors of Pain versus DIY versus The Revival.
Mm-hmm.
Asuka versus I don't know who.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure Ono will have a match.
Mm-hmm.
Dillinger, Eric Young. It's got the makings of a really good card.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then, you know, potentially so does WrestleMania.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I think they're like we said, they're two different animals. You got to take them for what they are.
You got to appreciate WrestleMania for the spectacle mm-hmm. of it.
Exactly. Yeah. I'll be like, if you want to say, okay, what event did you have? Let's just take SummerSlam, for example. What event did you have more fun at? More pure wrestling fun? It was NXT.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, we're up in the owner, like the one of the luxury suites for SummerSlam. But, you know, we had a good time. We were hanging out with Craig from Game mm-hmm. Attack and, mm-hmm. you know, half the time. And shooting the shit with him was fun and mm-hmm. eating free food was fun. Mm-hmm. And it's just a different experience
yeah.
that way, you know.
Yeah. The phenomenal cleaner AJ Omega. Hey, friendos, my question is, it's about time, with all the great talent that is in NXT, that they have a secondary male singles belt on the show. He says, Larson, I know you've mentioned the idea of a network title, but what about an NXT exclusive belt?
Nah, it's not enough room, or it's not enough, the roster depth isn't there. You're thinking TV title, aren't you, like depending on every episode?
It wouldn't be that different from the network title, though.
Well, no, the network, come on.
No, I know, the network would be, I know, but I'm just, yeah, especially just having a 1 hour show.
Yeah.
If they ever went to 2 hours, then yeah, I would say mm-hmm. they would need a secondary title, but right now.
There's no depth for it, you know?
No.
Eric Bass Hit King Blaha. Is there a wrestler that better embodies his name than Drew Gulak? There's no doubt that when you see him, he looks like a Drew Gulak. I agree 150%, dude.
100%.
Absolutely. He is the most Drew Gulak person ever.
The advocate for Eddie Bennett, Terrence Thompson. Which NXT superstars would you like to see join forces and create a stable and or faction? How would it start and what would their gimmick be?
Oh, man. Which NXT super would you like
to see? I'd love to see Almas. Mm-hmm. Do a Los Ingobernables type faction.
That'd be cool. I'd have to think of a different, like a Spanish name.
Yeah.
He would.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd name it. Yeah, I don't know. I think
be in it?
Oni Lorcan.
Oh, yeah. We've mentioned that before.
Oni Lorcan, for sure. We need a tag team. They would have to come up with a new. Oh, High Voltage. What are they called? Heavy Machinery.
Heavy Machinery.
I don't fucking know what to call High Voltage from now on. Yeah, Heavy Machinery. And then they would bring in, Naito would do an excursion.
Okay, to NXT, huh?
To NXT. It's like the most over dude in New Japan who'd go on an excursion to NXT. Matthew W. Stewart II. Omitting the Wyatts, so leaving them aside,
mm-hmm.
who'd you like to see the Broken Hardys face off with?
I'm happy you asked that.
Okay.
We got a whole episode of Countout about that.
Yeah, we do. It's on Saturday. Check it out.
Yeah. Advocate for the man dying of thirst, Robert Draftmaster Jacone. Hey, friendos. What do you see being the next lesson the Brian Kendrick, sorry, the Brian Kendrick, will teach Tozawa? Thanks, friendos. Next lesson. Well, we'll probably find out Sunday at Fastlane.
Next lesson will be... whenever you go into a stall in a public bathroom, make sure there's toilet paper if you're going to do a dookie.
Oh, before you start.
Before, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, not like during. You don't want to look during. It's too late then.
Yeah, exactly.
Once you've got a turtle head coming out.
Yeah, you can't. You can't put that back in.
It's too late, buddy boy.
No, I know. So I'm saying, like, you have to make sure there's toilet paper before you
exactly,
start that process.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Otherwise, it's not going to be
like,
fun.
You might, like, you know, at least, you know, before you let or after you let your first fart out, you're okay still because there's no substance there.
Yeah.
That's the next lesson. Make sure you don't have shit butt when you go into a match. Next, the South Texas Tiger, Dan Cannon. When Bobby Roode made his entrance at TakeOver San Antonio, the entire crowd sang along to his entrance theme when Shinsuke came out, samesies. Which worker would you think it'd be hilarious to hear everyone in the audience sing along to? Sanity.
That's a good answer.
Somebody here says Dash and Dawson. The entire crowd, yeah.
They were doing that last night. A lot of the crowd was saying,
"Well, yeah, man."
Was
of course.
Saying, "Yeah,
yeah,
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 yeah."
We go hard
all day, all night.
Yeah. Oh man, Matthew Barisic. He is the Dingus Maximus champion.
Hey, friendos, Steve.
You know that was an in joke. He said something about I think the T-shirt or something. Because he's like, he's one of our lovely $50 patrons.
Yeah.
His shirt just went out, I think, today this morning. He said, or was it a couple days ago? I forget anyways. I said, hit me up, DM. And then somebody, he says, why did you call me DM? And then somebody else said, because you're the Dingus Maximus champion. I was like, God damn you people.
Steve, John Cena is trying to leave your ring. What do you tell him?
He's trying to leave my ring.
I think someone's asking for a Maurice impression.
Oh, hey, who's John Cena? Are you going to leave my ring now? This is my ring, Maurice. And you will not leave here now. You will not leave until I tell you to leave now. I have many crepes for you to be eating.
Oh, my goodness.
Man, I saw this spot on Good Day Sacramento the other day.
Uh-huh.
There's a place in town called Burgers and Crepes.
Oh, really?
I love crepes. I haven't had a crepe in fucking forever, and I really want many right now. Oh.
I'm okay with crepes.
And a big fat burger, too. You're okay with crepes?
They're fine.
They're like pancakes, but better.
Well, they're like... thinner pancakes with stuff in between.
With stuff. Like, you put whatever you want in there.
I know. I've had a crepe before.
Yeah, man.
They're okay.
Great. I had a crepe in Paris once, but I was like 10 years old.
Good so for you.
I don't remember dick about it.
Daniel Rudo Suave. Hey, Hey, friendos. Larson, yes. What percentage do you give Ty Dillinger coming to SmackDown and winning the IC belt right away? It's going to be a while.
10%.
Because he's got to win the NXT title first.
Yes.
Maybe a year from now, he'll be on SmackDown.
1 year from now, because Baron Corbin.
Go ahead, Steve.
Hidden paper face. So I was just thinking about Orton versus Wyatt, and what if this was some sort of rehab of Wyatt? What if Orton was trying to cure Wyatt from his affliction of Sister Abigail and bring him back to reality? No, I don't like this hidden paper face. Somebody on Twitter today gave me a really cool, I thought this would be a really fantastic way of approaching the Bray Wyatt thing.
Mm.
And I'm going to give him his shout out here. It was Corey Potter. Said, wouldn't it be cool if instead of Bray being pissed that Randy burned down the house, he was pissed he unleashed Sister Abigail.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Because it's like maybe it like, I don't know, enhances Bray's powers and he likes to keep him down or like Sister Abigail's fucked up. I don't know. I thought that was a really cool idea.
Yeah.
That like instead of being pissed off about, oh, you're desecrating her grave, it's, oh my God, shit is going down.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah.
That I think would be cool because then we're straying more into like Undertaker territory.
Yes.
I think it'd be cool.
Yeah. Do you want to say this next name?
Fat bastard champ Alex Foster. The only time I'm scared of a dress up like a cheeseburger.
What hosses?
Or cover myself in Twinkie.
What hosses should invade and try to take over the cruiserweight division?
You know, I got a whole tub
heavy of heavy machinery.
High voltage. I got a whole tub of pasta ham salad last night.
Oh my gosh.
I didn't eat it all. I had a couple of bites and gave the rest to the kids. But man, I wanted to eat. I wanted to just go like this. Like it was like a like cartoonishly, like just go like this. Like, you know how Popeye used to take the spinach can?
Yeah, yeah, dump the whole like this, can in his mouth.
It
just, yeah.
It was like a stream. I wanted that of pasta ham salad.
Oh my goodness. That is your current obsession. Boom, boom. Butch Bacon's grease catcher, Jerome Murray. After watching fun wrestling the past few weeks in general, it got me thinking, and after the rise of Butch Bacon, is it official that in fun wrestling, he's the face that runs the place?
It's top notch, man. Top notch runs the place. That's fairly
obvious. Until you get the H title,
mm-hmm.
You're not the face that runs the place.
That's true. I was up late last night booking out weeks in advance.
Good.
For W Steve W.
Good.
It's been proving out in the ratings. Story matters.
Yeah.
Clusterfuck tag matches that don't make a lick of sense. You need to step up your game a little bit.
Well, I just couldn't do what I really wanted to do.
James Rodriguez, with fully describing Roman Braun as an irresistible force meeting an immovable object, do you think they consider this to be on the same level as Hogan Andre? No.
No.
No, nothing is on the level of Hogan Andre.
The one and only true Meatloaf champion, M. Andrews. What do you think is next for NXT since stars like Kenny Omega have said that they don't want to go there, and stars like the Young Bucks and Adam Cole have no reason to? Thanks, friendos. If Adam Cole signs a WWE deal, he's going to NXT.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going straight to the main roster. I don't think.
I think you're right about that, but what if he puts together a really fantastic 2017?
That might change things.
What would have to happen for him to go straight to main? Who's more, let me ask you this, right now.
Yeah.
Sitting here, who is more likely, if they got signed by the WWE today, is there any possibility, if he got signed any possibility Ricochet would go straight to main? Who's more likely? Who's more ready to go straight to main, Adam Cole or Ricochet?
I personally feel like Ricochet is, but I think Ricochet would probably have to go to NXT.
You have to make a really, really big name for yourself to go straight to main these days. It's kind of incredible, really.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like Adam Cole would take another couple years.
Really?
I think so.
Kenny Omega had an amazing 2016.
I know.
And then that got him to the point.
Yeah.
Adam Cole, he has an amazing...
But
it's different, though.
But there's really nothing else for him to do in Ring of Honor. I think he would have to go to Japan,
mm-hmm.
and get either the Intercontinental title or the heavyweight title.
Yeah.
I think it would take something like that and put on a string of incredible matches.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't so much that Kenny Omega was winning things. He was winning things in a spectacular fashion.
I know. And I'm not sure Adam Cole is there yet. But I really like to think that he can be there. We were talking about this a little bit the other day about how I feel like Adam Cole can be a really, really great storyteller.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he is now, but I think he could be.
Yeah.
But I think if he has a really, really spectacular 2017 where he really pushes himself, we've already seen it with his body.
Yeah.
I think that he could be at that place. I think it's possible. I think it's possible. But, yeah, man, Kenny does some crazy shit, and that adds to the fact that he can tell amazing stories in the ring.
Yeah, and, but you know, if he wants to learn how to tell... Adam Cole is still only 27 years old.
Jesus Christ. I always think that he's 31. Jesus Christ. Fuck that. Wait till he's 32.
I know.
Man,
hanging around with the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega and learning from them is going to go a long way in terms of helping his career down the line.
Let me ask you something.
What?
Do you think Roderick Strong made a mistake going to NXT? God, he's old. He's 33. That's not that old.
It's not that old.
That's Finn Balor age.
He's won world titles in PWG and Ring of Honor. I mean, maybe he just thought, okay, I've done pretty much all I can do in the indies. Let's give WWE a try and see if I can reach the same level of success there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I assume, unless you want to go to Japan.
God, he was with the Ring of Honor for 13 years. Yeah, yeah. No, yeah, you're right.
The only option was going to New Japan, and maybe now with the upper and upper card and main event scene so packed with
by the time,
huge talent, maybe he thought there was a better chance of him, you know, being really successful in NXT and segueing to the main roster that
speculate.
Way.
Speculate. By the time Adam Cole is 33, do you think his stature will be higher than Roderick Strong's coming in NXT? I think it'll be way,
yeah.
I think he's on a really good path right now.
Yeah. Because I think he's only 27. He's already a three-time Ring of Honor champion.
Gee, willikers. Lethal's really young, too. He was surprisingly
young,
He's 31, yeah. Man. And it's funny, because I was sort of thinking, man, Lethal needs to shit or get off the pot, but he's only 31.
He's got plenty of time.
Yeah, he does. It's just some of these guys accomplish so much at such a young age in such a high profile, like the highest profile indie place, you know. Oh, by the way, yeah, a bunch of people pointed out on the Fight TV app.
Oh, I saw that too.
Yeah.
I looked into it last night a little bit.
Yeah, I downloaded it to my phone.
I was kind of bummed out that on the Fight TV website, you can't watch Ring of Honor. You can watch other wrestling, but not Ring of Honor.
You can watch it on the app, though. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. But then you can just stream the app to your Chromecast or whatever. All right, moving on. Next question.
One more question.
Uno Mas question. Good question from whoever that was.
I'm going to ask this one. You can pick out one more. We'll do two more.
M. Andrews. Oh, did we even answer his question, though?
What was his question?
Do you think what do you think is next for NXT? His premise though is that people say they don't want to go there. I kind of disagree with that premise. I think there's plenty of people, like, for example, look at the UK scene right now.
Yeah.
You know, like their goal, British Strong Style's goal, was either Tokyo or NXT.
Yeah.
And so, and we see them there. Granted, they're mainly going to be in the whatever the UK promotion thing is doing, but they'll have a clear path.
Yeah, and I think I read an article with Ricochet, or interview, where I think he said he was totally cool going to NXT, so long as it led to the career path that he wanted, which was something similar to what Finn Balor...
Which, dude, he would be... God
has
damn,
done.
That'd be fun.
I know.
I think in his case, he would benefit more from going through NXT...
Yeah.
As opposed to Adam Cole, who I just feel is like his, like, personality wise.
Yeah.
I just feel like he needs like another. God, yeah, he's only 27. That's crazy. All right. One more question here. Ivan the Clock Cleaner Rodriguez. I like the premise that this sort of finishes on. All the talk about the new evolution is great and everyone has great ideas for the fourth member. Now, if Triple H really wants to make the top Hoss team, wouldn't Chris Hero make more sense? He was brought in around when the angle started and also a bit of a fuck you to Punk, who initially wanted a hero for the Shield instead of Roman.
That's actually a decent idea.
I know. I like that. I actually really like that idea. I wonder if that would be a fuck you to Punk or it would be validation for Punk, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no.
If Hero was Punk's guy, then elevating him to like being, you know, Triple H's, you know, employee, basically.
Yeah.
But I think that'd be a great idea. I would love to see Chris Hero. The more Chris Hero, the better, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, agreed.
I think he makes everything better.
All right, we'll do this last one since we're talking about Chris Hero. The ghost of Harry Beef's child Taco. Hey, friendos, first-time patron, thank you very much. I love Chris Hero / Cassius Ohno's solo work, but I've always thought he worked best in a tag team, either with Cesaro or Tommy End. Do you think WWE made the wrong choice to debut him as a singles wrestler and not use him and Tommy End to bolster up the tag team division? That's an interesting question.
When are we going to see Tommy End?
I don't know.
What do they call him again?
Aleister Black.
What a terrible name that is. I'm going to say, look, I'll be completely honest. I have not seen a lot of his tag work. But as we've seen with Cesaro... There's no problem bringing him in as a singles guy and then transitioning him to a tag guy if that's sort of where he fits best. That would be rad if they, you know, as much as I love Sheamus and Cesaro,
If they brought Chris Hero up to
reform the Kings of Wrestling,
yeah,
that'd be cool.
That'd be really cool.
You know, that a lot of indie marks out there would love that shit.
Yeah,
you know,
they would.
So, last question here, Randy, favorite version of Kane, with mask, without mask,
corporate.
Corporate game. That's my answer too. Anyways, that's it for now. Until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.